The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I think my preference or intuition is to try to respond to some of your questions that you might have, if some of you have questions. And if you don't have any questions, then we'll figure out something else for 15 minutes. Anything on your minds about practice?
So I'm looking at some circumstances, things I need to do, thinking about how I feel about them, why I feel that way, and what I'm noticing is that I've got habits about them, and I think the habits are who I am and how I, and why or why I shouldn't do these things and how the things are going to happen and stuff. I need to go to New York next week to take care of some things. But there's other issues around it. And I'm comfortable enough now with ignoring the habits or breaking the habits. And so I'm not exactly sure what I'm trying to ask here. It's a complicated question, and I don't really see it clearly, except that I sort of know what I want to do and what I think is the right thing to do. There's some discomfort. And there's some fears, but they're not really strong the way they might have been a year ago. So I don't know if you can tease a question out of that.
Can you guys help me? What's the question?
Well, I guess if I to make it a question is. So as I do this, I don't want to just react and say, oh, well, this is a habit, I'm going to do it the opposite way. I kind of want to do this skillfully. And I'm kind of looking for what those means are, or how to place myself in the circumstances, or how to be in the circumstances.
Yeah, I appreciate this. One of the great supports always is to be honest. So to be honest as best you can to yourself. If there's other people around you can be honest with and say, I'm having this habit, I have this reaction, I have this habitual response around certain things, and it's the pressure is building up. This is what's happening again. Lay it on the table for yourself. You know, and the more fully you can acknowledge yourself, even have a journal, write it down, big letters. You know. It's happening, you know, and just describe it. There's something very powerful of being very honest about it. And if other people are involved in the whole scene and you trust them enough, tell them this is what's happening for you. And sometimes just that kind of honesty shifts your relationship to it, gives you clarity about what's going on. That's one thing. The other thing that occurs to me is that meditation practice is very helpful, very important. Because one of the functions of meditation practice is to be the place where you put down your habits fully and thoroughly, so that you have a reference point of what it's like not to have the habit actively active in there. And the more fully you can put down your habits in meditation, start thinking and reacting this way, it highlights how it is when you start, when the habits do come up, they stand out more and highlight, and it gives you maybe more choice. Also, the more you can kind of come to zero in meditation, the more you can come just be really simple and let go and just be in meditation. You have to let go of a lot, and so that the muscle of letting go becomes stronger. So when you come up into real life situations where the habits kick in, you have more ability to let go if that's what's called for. Those are my answers to the question. Jim.
Speaking to Arthur's question, I find that if I try to go against the stream, my habits are more obsessive compulsive than anything, but to try to not dot those I's and cross those T's and be less impulsive brings up some anxiety. And when I'm meditating, if I can sort of relive that in this very relaxed situation, it helps.
We relive the anxiety.
Yeah.
So
I provoke it by imagining a situation.
Nice.
And that applies to other things too.
And
but
how
the
I,
relaxation.
So if you evoke the anxiety that comes when you don't act obsessively, compulsively, how does that, evoking that anxiety, how does that benefit you?
Well, doing it in the relaxed situation, it's sort of like desensitization to a phobia or something.
Ah,
like
great.
That. I mean, that's the way it strikes me.
So then later, when it's out in life again, the anxiety might come up, but you're familiar with it, you're less likely to be tripped up by it.
And it's sort of this relaxation response.
Great, lovely.
I've heard that expression. I don't know if that's what it really applies to, but for me, that's what
great,
I'm looking great. For.
So rather than taking the habit as a given, which in a sense, maybe Arthur was talking, just taking it as a given, as it is in itself, you're looking behind the habit, behind the conditioning, to see what the emotions and feelings that might be the soil out of which it grows. And then you're bringing your attention to that and settling something and deconditioning yourself. Great, lovely.
I think my question maybe dovetails on his a little bit too, so we're kind of dovetailing on each other. I think that in terms of being aware and kind of removed from, not removed, but I guess aware of my habits, I'm pretty good if the stakes aren't so high. And then when the stakes become high, I think that the anxiety kicks in and I want to kind of control things. And it occurs to me that that's probably even more important of a situation to kind of let go.
Yeah.
So if you could kind of talk about that.
So you're saying when the stakes are high, then there's more anxiety, and then the habits kick in more, the reactive usual ways of kick in. And so you're saying perhaps those situations when the stakes are higher, the anxiety is higher, those are the important places to bring your practice. Perfect. Yes.
How do you do that?
How do you do it? How do you do it? I don't know how you're going to do it, but here's a little mantra that you could say to yourself and see what that stirs up or how that highlights and what it adds to the situation and perspective it gives you. And the mantra is, when there's a lot at stake, repeat to yourself a few times, there's nothing at stake. There's nothing really at stake. And then see what happens. See the protests. What do you mean there's nothing at stake? Everything's at stake. And really, look, is it real? What's at stake? What's really at stake? And what's behind the stake? But just say that question. Nothing. There's nothing at stake. Nothing at stake. And listen to your protests, your arguments. Say it again. There's nothing at stake. And try to see, what's the wisdom of that statement? Is there any wisdom? There's nothing at stake. There might be things at stake, but maybe that's only one side of the coin. Maybe there's another side of the coin, the nothing at stake side. So try that mantra. See what it does for you. Look for situations that there's a lot at stake, so you can use the mantra.
I just started a book study group this week, and the book that we're using is called I Am That. And one of the kind of mantras, I guess, the guy who, it was a series of interviews with this guy, and the mantra that he used that seemed to bring him to some level of liberation is, I'm not that. So it's kind of looking at everything, my habits, my perceptions, the traffic, whatever it is, and just instead of responding in the usual way, just acknowledging, okay, I'm really not that traffic. I am really not this conflict or whatever it is that might be coming up. So that's, I'm kind of working on that. And it's sort of a comforting thing currently to hold on to it in going about the day.
Beautiful. Lovely thing.
Hi. So I have a practical question I want to ask your advice on. I have my grandfather is having some driving safety challenges. And he lives in a state where legally he's allowed to drive until, I think, over the age of 100. And so I'm the person in my family that's going to be responsible for I'm going to attempt to have some compassionate conversations with him about our concerns, my concern. But I'm afraid I might come across too strong and end up hurting his feelings somehow, and I just wanted to ask your advice on
that. So you're the grandchild who has that responsibility because his kids are no longer alive? Or?
So actually they're alive, but they've had their own difficulties in having these conversations. And
it's your turn. to have the difficulty. You have kids, don't you?
Yeah.
Send them.
Well, as Gil may know, they're not of they're not old enough yet to have them, so I can't quite pass the buck to them. And I'm apparently a cyclist was hit by my grandfather,
oh, no.
And fortunately they weren't hurt, but he either wasn't aware or was aware and did not choose to stop. And I feel like it's anyway. Feels like I need to be a bit more stern than if this was just a simple.
But if he continued after hitting a cyclist, then it's pretty serious. Most states, it's very serious. It's hit and run. And wouldn't the police or the court system then get interested in an old man's mental state?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah.
Can you talk to the police? It just happened recently?
I'm not sure. I think it happened a few months ago.
Oh, so maybe it's already taken care of and. But you might talk to the police and say, "Look, I have this issue," and because they might have an important role. I know a relative of mine needed to stop driving, and it was the doctors who kind of saw what was going on. The doctor said, "You know, and the doctors can give written orders, you know, basically." Or I don't know if they report you to DMV or how it works, but you know. So there's other ways of doing it that you might. I don't know so much how it works, but you might look into it. But the non-family ways of looking at it, and some people are eager to tell you after this over some ideas. But in terms of how to have that conversation, I've had that conversation with someone recently, and a family member, and it was interesting. The person agreed, but didn't believe it was necessary. You know, kept saying, "You know, I'm only doing it for you because you told me to." But it takes a lot of skill to have those conversations. You have to know that. You know, this is where you have to know a person well to know how to approach them and what is effective, what's meaningful, and figure out the way that can make the point and. In a compassionate, caring way, but also that makes it clear. Especially if the so. Anyway, I wish you luck with that. Not easy.
Thank you.
Okay, so we should stop.